Our congregation has included in our vision and our mission a special focus on prayer, personal prayer, intercessory prayer, and prayer circles. This is the first of a series of messages about prayer. My sermons will prime the pump. I trust they will open the conversations and the experiences of prayer among us. I invite you to become more involved with prayer in our conversation. If you turn to Matthew 6, verse 8. Matthew 6, verse 8. Thank you. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have heard, have need of before you ask them. God is aware of our needs. He does not need to be told what our needs are. However, he wants us to pray so that we can know so he knows our motivation. See an interesting scripture over in Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8. This is just before they went into the promised land, the Israelites. And in Deuteronomy 8, verses 2 and 3. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. He wants us to pray so he can know our motivation, whether we are sincere in our trust in him, in following and in obeying and loving him. He gave a model prayer in Matthew chapter 6 in response to his disciples' request for help in praying. And it was never intended to be a rote prayer, as has become the case in many groups, but it's an outline of prayer. So the first thing he does in the model prayer, before he starts the model prayer, in verse 5 and 6, he addresses the motives, our motives, by comparing what the Pharisees did to what we should do. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corner of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father, who is in a secret place, and your Father, who sees you in secret, will reward you openly. Actually, openly is not in the original version, because we know that God doesn't always reward us openly. Sometimes rewards us in a private way, responds in a private way. This model prayer mainly concerns our regular prayer, private prayer, not our public prayers at services. We are to go somewhere private where we won't be disturbed, because it's all about us and God. And in verse 7 it says, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. For example, you don't get a prayer wheel to help you with your prayers. We need to remember what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes verse 5. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 1 and 2. Walk prudently when you go to the house of God, and draw near to hear, rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven, and you are on the earth. Therefore let your words be few. For a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. So you don't have to speak a lot of words. In fact, to give you an example, if you turn over to the life of Christ, in John 11, you'll find an example of this. John 11, verse 41 to 43. This is a situation where Martha's brother had died, and Lazarus, and Christ delayed his going to see Lazarus. And when they got there, finally, after he'd been in the grave 4 days, that it says in verse 41, they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you will always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now, when he had said these words, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Now, that prayer was only a few seconds long, but the Father responded to Jesus because he established a relationship with Jesus. He had a relationship, so he was able to pray for this. Jesus Christ, since the veil of the temple, verse 9 of Matthew 6, verse 9. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The first thing in prayer is to acknowledge who we are talking to. Not only is God the God of the universe, he is the creator God and sustainer who lives on a totally different plane than we do. But through the choice of God and the sacrifice of Christ, were able to approach him. Since the veil of the temple was torn in two at the death of Christ on the cross, we can have a personal relationship with the Father now. We are able to pray to the Father in the name and authority of Jesus Christ, as he says in John 16. John 16, verse 23 and 24. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. We are to strive for the holiness of the Father in our words and in our lives. Remember, as it says in Matthew 5, verse 48, our goal is to become perfect as the Father is perfect. Therefore, you shall become perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. We are prepared. Verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are preparing for the kingdom of God. That is the goal of the church in all its aspects, and our part in that work God the Father is focused on the kingdom as a long-term goal. This also should be our focus, as it says in verse 33 of chapter 6. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now we come to verse 11 of the model prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. The prayer then focuses on our, not my, daily needs. The me generation is the direct opposite of God's way. We should be careful not to be influenced by this modern way of thinking. It's not God's way. We need to be fed, not just physically, but also spiritually. As you'll see, as Christ said in John 6, 27. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God himself has set his seal on him. We need to be fed spiritually. Manna was a physical parallel to this. We must not be greedy. This implies that we need to be praying daily, this verse, and trusting God daily. In verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We must pray for forgiveness for our sins daily. It's a daily struggle. This is tied to our forgiveness of others who have offended us. Matthew 11, Christ made this same point again later on. Matthew 11. Matthew 11, verses 25 to 26. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, it seemed good in your sight. Oh, sorry. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. I didn't think that made any sense in the context. Mark 11, verse 25 and 26. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. So we must think of our sins and remember that we need forgiveness for them. This should increase our compassion and mercy towards others. We should be forgiving. And back in Matthew 6, it says in verse 13, do not lead us into temptation. We need to remember that God does not tempt anybody, as it says in James 1. He doesn't tempt anybody. James 1 verse 13. Let no one say that he is tempted. I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. He himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. We don't need God to tempt us. We manage it ourselves. But we can get into situations and circumstances in this world where we would be tempted. We need to be aware and alert to these possibilities. We should know our weaknesses so we can avoid the temptations that could affect us. We need to pray for strength. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, we have a very encouraging scripture. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except as such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted about beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. It's up to us to do our part, though. God will provide a way of escape from temptation when it comes upon us. We may have to suffer through it sometimes, particularly in health situations, till God answers our prayers. The prayer finishes "Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." The prayer finishes with a reminder of the power and strength of God. It is His kingdom we are praying for, and it is God's Spirit all of us need every single day. Remember that Christ knows what we are going through, as it says in Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2. Verse 17 and 18. Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is also able to aid those who are tempted. As we complete this study of the model prayer, often called the Lord's Prayer, the question arises, does God really answer prayer? We can search for scriptures for examples of answered prayers. We've heard one today from Barbara. We've had examples in our own lives. Announced the next part of the sermon depends on all of us in the congregation to share examples from scripture and to share personal prayers that have been answered, so we can find examples where God has answered, wait a while, with the answer has been delayed. We can also find examples of immediate answers to prayers as well. And sometimes prayers have not been answered, not because God does not hear, but the prayer is not within His will. If we pray to win the $1 million lottery, we can probably expect the prayer will not be answered with a yes. The catch box is available somewhere for this part of the service, so that everyone is able to hear what each person says. Please wait for the catch box to begin before you begin speaking. We're listening for your examples of answered prayers in Scripture and also in your own life. Please feel free to speak more than once as God's Spirit leads you. We just have a short prayer. Eternal Father, we come into your presence in Jesus' name. Thank you for inviting us to talk with you. May you bring to our minds scriptures about answered prayers. May you remind us of your answers to our prayers. Please give us courage to share these answered prayers, to honor and thank you, and encourage anyone here to pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brethren, the floor is open. Jim.
Thank you, David. Recently I gave words of encouragement concerning an event that happened to me years ago when I had been dismissed from my job, and I sued my former employer for wrongful dismissal. And I won't go into all those details, but it was a two-day trial that went ahead. And when it finished, after and one of the things I did in my words of encouragement was mention that it was, for me, a two-day fast. I fasted, but part of that fast, of course, is praying to God. And so I had asked him for his favor in this matter, because I was wrongfully dismissed, in my opinion. And when I finished standing there and giving my testimony, my lawyer said, "Well, you blew it. You can forget this one." And so he was kind of covering himself. It wasn't his fault. So I thought I had given my testimony honestly. Well, the judge came back with a decision, and he had his black robes on and white hair. And to me, he personified what God would look like in many ways. You know, maybe God would have a white robe on, not black. But when he gave his decision, it was in my favor, and it was a quite good one. And my lawyer couldn't believe it. But in fact, in months gone by, that decision made the journal as a precedent, and it gave the employee the right to go and apply for a job at a competitor's place of work without losing his job. So that was what it was about, essentially. So to me, that was a real blessing from God. And despite what the lawyers had to say, it was a precedent. And the judge, I believe, was really inspired and influenced by God.
That's most encouraging.
I should mention about when I worked years ago in a bonded warehouse, which processed all sorts of drink. I was employed as a customs officer to keep an eye on things. And of course, being in the church, I worked 5 days a week. But there was opportunity for the other men in the job to work Saturdays on overtime. And what I didn't know was going on was that the certain people involved in this were smuggling alcohol out and selling it in the local pub and places like that. And someone found out and called our investigation team. Now, you might think the police are bad, but the investigation team are really rough. And they were going to come in and deal with everyone and fire everyone and, you know, really have a go. But my boss, when I found out they were coming to interview me, it was very short notice, and all I could do was go in the toilet and go on my knees and pray like crazy. And meanwhile, my boss went in and strongly argued that I had nothing whatsoever to do with this, because I wasn't even there on the Saturdays. It was only taking place on the Saturdays. So he argued and persuaded them not to bother to interview me. So that was a real intervention on behalf of God, where a man spoke up for me. So that was a good encouraging example. Anyone else? Yes, Al.
Thank you, Jim. Well, since I'm standing, I might as well stay standing. Well, in my 83 years on this earth, I've had a lot of answered prayer. Most recent, though, was last March, when Angie and I were given an estate worth $500,000. Now, we thought that was great. But, you know, even Solomon knew better. in Proverbs 20, it says, an inheritance hastily given will not end in a blessing. And this, through no fault of my own, I tried to do the part as a POA, but and Angie as well. And but the owner decided that I wasn't doing enough, so he fired me. And he appointed this other person in another locale and to do what he thought would probably be done better, but not so. But however, with all the rigmarole, I might call it, and all the trials that went on after that, it was a blessing that we're out of it. And thankful for that. So that's just one. Do you want another one, or just can I just wrap it up quickly? I was in a little Prince, a 1959 Prince car, and I passed this. This is back just prior to our marriage in 1960, and excuse me. I passed this transport, Smith's transport. He was going to the speed limit, 55 miles an hour at that time. I passed him, and about 5 miles down the road came upon another Smith's transport with no lights, and he was parked in the middle of the road. With my little car, smaller than a Volkswagen, I stopped and parked at this corner with my lights flashing. He saw my lights flashing, and he slammed on his brakes, his trailer and the unit jackknife, the trailer jackknife. The wheel came off and hit the back of my car, which I was in, just sitting there flashing my lights. And it went over the car and went probably from here to the street almost, I guess, to into a field. So I wasn't injured. I just felt the impact, but no problem. This other man then came up on the scene. He was happened to be a manager of Smith's Transport, who used to be located in Ottawa on Albert Street. And he said, "Well, just go to the company." He says, "They'll pay for it," and they did. And that was it. But the man got out of the transport that had jackknifed his trailer. He says, "I can't believe that." He was a Frenchman. And he said, "I can't believe that, Mary." He says, "You stay there. You're not scared." I said, "No, I wasn't scared." He said, "Why you do that?" I said, "I knew you couldn't make it at the speed you were going into a stop transport. You'd be dead now." I know. Thank you. So, thank you. Anybody else? Margaret?
Anybody else? Ernie, sorry. I'm the runner today.
Yeah, you don't... If you pray for something and you don't do the effort to follow through, your prayers will never be answered. My example is, I was not in the church at that time. I was drinking daily, every day, on and on and on and on. And one night, I said a little prayer to God, saying, "Please, God, help me. I can't take it no more." And the following day, I stopped drinking. I never drank since then. And that was 1st of January, 1980. Now, I knew I had to make the effort. I put my foot forward and start doing things. And eventually, God was always with me, helping me. I truly believe that. But like they were saying, you say only a few little words. That's all I said. "Please, God, I can't take it no more." And that was it. And my prayers were answered.
I'm thinking of the example of Hannah when she prayed at the door of the temple. And she wasn't praying out loud. She was in a kind of a space of her own. And the priest asked her, and she was praying for a son. And God answered the prayer, and she had a son. And look into history and see what happened to that son. When the high priest's two sons were evil and corrupt and corrupting Israel, Samuel was then a servant in the temple, because the mother Hannah had devoted him to God's service, and he was there ready to take over. What a blessing to an answered prayer. Lila?
When I first came into the church, I was working with the airlines, and I realized I could not continue working on the Sabbath. And so I decided to change to become a secretary. But in Barbados at that time, Saturday was half day work. I mean, my father said it was crazy to give up the job when there's nobody else is offering jobs on a Sabbath. But I prayed about it, and as soon as I finished my secretary services, there were four places which did give Sabbath off. I went to first the British High Commission, no problem. And from there, I ended up at the Organization of the American States. All gave the Sabbath off. And that was all the answer to prayer, that there were places and I was able to get jobs.
Is there anyone else? Jim?
The first time I was to go to a different feast site back in worldwide days, it was in 1982, and I had been approved to go to Lake of the Ozarks for the feast. And a couple of weeks before that, maybe 3 weeks anyway, I was in with my family in the East Coast, and somehow I got some water that gives you hepatitis A. I think it is the one you get from water anyway. And so I had all the symptoms of hepatitis, and of course you can't leave the country with something like that. It lasts 30 days at least, and so I had had to test, and it had been confirmed. And then the next Sabbath was the Feast of Trumpets. It happened to be on the Sabbath that year, I believe, and I was anointed, and all the symptoms went away. And I was, as it turned out, I had another test, and it was gone, you know. So that was clearly, because if you know what hepatitis is like, the signs are clear. I won't go into them, but you know you've got something. And so that was my first healing of many over the years. That enabled me to go to the Feast of the Ozarks, and another couple, a family that was going, Their son totaled the family car, so they weren't able to drive there. So I took them. You probably, maybe some of you know the Clancys, Gerald and Millie Clancy, and their son Eldon came with me in my car, since a minister had given on the Day of Atonement a sermon about helping one another. So I was able to do that, and at that time Gerald had a stroke, so we got the handicap sticker. And at the Feast of the Ozarks, which was a worldwide site that they owned, it was like a 2-hour wait to get into the parking lot in and out every day, but with a handicap sticker you're waved right in. And if anybody knows about my lack of patience, that was a real blessing. But so in having the blessing of healing, I also had opportunity to serve my brethren and enjoy the feast.
Well, talking about the feast, Jim, I guess it was in 1987. Friends of mine from Stittsville phoned me and said, would you like to go to the feast with us? We want to go to Britain. And I thought, oh my goodness, because I'm a teacher and you're getting days off for the feast. And you take as few as possible. So I said a quick prayer, and I thought, well, Father, if you really think I want me to go to Britain, I'd like to go, but I think you'll have to open some doors. And I will tell you that a lot of doors opened. I was finally able to get a flight that I was able to leave my school at 3:25, which was 5 minutes early, with permission, and I'm headed for Mirabel Airport. Was in Scotland. Before I did that, some of the doors had to be opened, but I had to try. And my friend's phone said, do you know anybody in Britain where we could get information about getting rooms near the site up in Scotland and everywhere? Oh, I said, I know David Townsend. I'll phone him. So I phoned him from the principal's office. And we all turned up at the feast in Abingbourne, in Scotland. And that's where we fell in love. So that was quite a prayer that I didn't expect that to come out of that. It's a prayer I didn't ask for, but it was sure nice.
Yes, I was, we met in 76 when I came to Canada with a friend of mine. And we met in Ottawa and I took Margaret out flying. I think I took you flying, didn't I? Oh, yes, we met before that. Briefly, I took her to the play in London. So we met occasionally, and I sent a card once a year from the feast.
A rapid romance.
Yeah. Well, it does illustrate that sometimes God takes time to do these things, because I was in London, and there were, in those days, there were 10 single men for every single girl, and there was one single girl in London got taken back out by every guy, and she married someone from Reading. That's usually the way it turns out. But when I came back up to Lancashire in 1980, I was in the local church, and I dated one woman, and then I dated another one who was called Margaret and played the piano, but it was the wrong Margaret. She married somebody else in the church, so that was a bit of a tough time, then being there every week. So when Margaret wanted to go to the feast, my friends had not decided where they were going, and I didn't know what I was going to do, so I decided to go to Scotland. And as Margaret said, it all started to work out from there. But it was, I think it was over 10 years before we really got together. Hmm? 17 years. Oh, yeah. It was a long time, so we have to be patient while God works things out. So, Denise?
Okay, I'd like to witness on how I found this church. I have a Catholic background ever since I've been in the Catholic family, and strayed from going to church probably in my 20s. Can you hear me? Yeah? Okay. I'm from Winnipeg. We moved here to Ottawa just for a year, and we decided to stay. We had three very small kids and babies, and so I thought, gee, you know, I always had this in the back of my mind. I should be going to church, and it's not the Catholic Church. And I'm trying to look in the papers, and I, you know, all it is. First of all, I asked God, point me to the right book. What is the Bible? Because I know there's hundreds of different versions. And I said, point me to your Bible. So I went to chapters, and I got a King James Version Bible. I didn't even want the New King James. I want just the King James, the Old English Version. So I started reading that. And another thing, I was in research, and I tried to avoid, and I was able to do flex work with my job. So I went in really early to avoid traffic. And that allowed me to get off of work by 2:30. And so at 2:30, I'm back in my car, and I turn a channel. He's an OHRI, is kind of like a Christian radio station, which I wasn't aware of. So I started listening, and then MacArthur was preaching. John, thank you. And so I started listening to him and going, that sounds pretty good. And, you know, he's Protestant, and I'm going to get a Protestant church. And so I'm looking, I'm going, there's no Protestant churches in Orleans. So, but then I looked and I saw Sabbath keeping. Okay, CGI, Church of God. I'm going, wow, that's a really good name for a church. I wonder if it's a cult or if it's the real thing. And then I saw a special outreach sermon that was going to be given by Murray Palmateer. I didn't know who this person was. So I signed up online for it and, you know, didn't know what was going to happen. But it was what was the name of it? But there was the title. It was, Is Christmas Christian? Exactly. So I thought, okay, I'm going to go to that sermon, and I was greeted by Ernie and Peter at the door, and I'm going, wow, they really actually knew that I was coming. And so I sat down, and I think I already knew that what he was about to say was going to say, no, Christmas isn't Christian. I was ready for it, but I was ready to hear it. And so it made sense to me, and ever since then, I kept coming, and I'm so thankful, and what a blessing that I found this church, and it's just changed me, and I'm so overwhelmed, and I know this is it. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're done? All right.
I think we'll call it a day there now.
Scriptures when Peter was in prison and the church was praying so hard for him. Oh my goodness, what's this? And the angel delivered Peter, and he came to the door and he hammered on the door, and the maid came to the door, and she was so shocked to see him that she didn't open the door. She ran in and told the congregation, he's outside, and they thought she was crazy. Yeah. So when we pray, watch out. God sometimes answers the prayers we don't expect him to answer. Let's pray God brings people to us that the Father is calling. Amen.